Thomas Bewick, engraver renowned in his own time, at the age of 70 rests briefly at Tynemouth and then at Cherrybourne and recalls memories of his youth. The country lad's vision of the Vale of Tyne, its people and their customs, its boards, its beasts, its streams and its trees, will become translated through his artist's eye and his craftsman's hand into works of genius. Tynemouth, November 1822. My dear Jane, it is in compliance with your wishes that I have, after much hesitation and delay, made up my mind to give you some account of my life, as it may at a future day amuse you and your brother and sisters in your passage through its crooked as well as its pleasant paths, and as it may also satisfy your curiosity to know something about your pedigree, I will inform you of what I have been told respecting it, as far back as I can. My grandfather, Thomas Bewick, farmed the lands of Painshawfield and Borchers Nook near Bywall, and also the colliery on Mickley Bank or Mickley Common, probably about the year 1700. He had the character of being one of the most intelligent, active, and best farmers on Tyneside, and it was said that by his good management and great industry he got to be very rich. And excepting his being an expert or a great angler, I know little more about him. My grandmother's maiden name was Agnes Arthur, the daughter of a laird of that name at Corkheaton, where my father was born in the year 1715, while his mother was there on a visit to her friends. My maternal grandfather, Thomas Wilson, and my grandmother, whose maiden name was Hannah Thompson, lived at Ainstable in Cumberland. But whether he was the curate of that parish, or parish clerk, I do not know. It is certain, however, that he was one or the other, and that he taught a school there. And from the circumstance of his teaching his sons and some of his daughters Latin, I conclude he taught some of his scholars the same language. When he died, his eldest son Christopher became possessed of his freehold property, consisting of a house and a few fields adjoining it. The rest of his family were left little besides a good education, and were spread abroad in the world to do the best they could for themselves. In this state of their affairs, my mother Jane and her youngest sister Hannah were taken by a distant relation, a Mrs. Gregson of Appleby, and remained with her until she could get them places to live at. About this time, the Reverend Christopher Gregson had been appointed to the curacy of Ovingham, and wanted a housekeeper, and my mother, though young, was thought able to undertake that office, and accordingly engaged to perform it. Your maternal grandfather's name was Robert Elliot, and your grandmother's Jane Foster. He farmed the land of Woodgate, near Bill Quay, where your mother was born. He afterwards removed to a farm at Ovingham, where he died in 1777, leaving the character of a sensible, honest, and industrious man. How long my mother lived at Mr. Gregson's place before her marriage I know not, but from him I afterwards learned that she was a valuable servant to him, both with respect to the management in his housekeeping concerns, and also for the occasional assistance she afforded him in hearing his pupils at their Latin tasks. From this place, in the year 1752, she married my father and went to live with him at Cherrybourne House, near the small village or hamlet of Eltringham, where all their family, of which I was the eldest, were born. The family consisting of myself and brothers John and William, and my sisters Hannah, Agnes, Anne, Sarah, and Jane. Sarah died at the age of 16. The rest were reared to maturity, or were sent off one way or another into the world.